Welcome to another Running Tales podcast.
Hi, my name is Michelle Lewis. 10 years ago, you'd have been lucky to see me run to the end of the road. These days, running is second nature to me. From marathons to park runs to putting my own running group through their paces, you'll often see me in suitably loud attire, getting ready to pound the pavements. And here's a secret. If I can do it, you can too. There's so many wonderful and inspiring stories in the world of running. And not just running, some of my favourite tales involve those who take to their wheelchairs, bikes, or simply their own trusty feet in an attempt to get fitter, faster, or just have some fun. In this podcast, I'm going to be in conversation with some of the most inspiring and fascinating of these people. Remember, it's your time, your speed, your way. The only person you need to keep up with is yourself.
Hi, it's Craig again, and my guest this week on Running Tales is Gary McKee. They call him the Marathon Man. He's a fundraiser. He's raised almost £1 million for charity, and he's hoping that this challenge will raise another £1 million. So first of all, I asked him to explain exactly what it is.
Currently, I'm running 365 marathons in 365 days. Today was day 171. I'm using local routes. In fact, I've only actually used two routes on this challenge, and one was through at Keswick, and the only reason I went through was because the mayor had asked me to come through and he'd done some fundraising himself. So I use the same route. It starts and finishes at my own home. It means that I can get out. A lot of people think, you know, why the same route? I couldn't do that, but it works for me. It's a disused railway line. It's now a cycle path, and it's the beginning of the coast to coast. So it starts at Whitehaven, and it goes all the way through to the northeast, so from west to east. I run 26.5 miles on it every day. There's no traffic. People know where I'm at any time. Who can want to join me? If they want to do a full marathon, they'll come at the beginning. If they want to do a half, they'll start. They'll come to the halfway point. At the halfway point, I have a couple of people in a support vehicle who make me a cup of tea, and there's cake. There's always cake. And there's lots of people use that as a focal point just to come out and have a bit of a crack and see how I'm getting on. And loads of people bring different stuff, you know, different cakes and biscuits, and they'll bring tea and coffee. And the community's really, really got together and supported me and got behind me. With it being warmer, they have cold sponges there for me. They have hot blankets in winter. They have hot water bottles. I sit in the car. I'm absolutely pampered, you know, and so are my fellow runners. Somebody bought us like bathrobes, so that when we got there, if I needed to change clothes, we would throw wet clothes off, put the bathrobe on, get a bit warm before we put, you know, our clean clothes back on and come turned around at the 13 mile point. But it's all going really, really well at the moment.
And I can hear people screaming at this podcast as we talk to say, well, that's fantastic. And with that sport team behind you, there must be a pretty good reason behind it. But why on earth would anybody run 365 marathons in a year?
To be honest, why 365? Because when people say why 365, the common thing to me is why not? I think I'm capable of doing that. And I don't think it's anything other than that. You know, I'm only doing what I'm capable of doing. I became a fundraiser for Macmillan Cancer Support 20 years ago. My dad was diagnosed with cancer in 1997, and he was a cancer survivor. But I remember coming home from work. It was the 23rd of June, 1997, and I came home from work, and my family were sitting outside, and I knew something wasn't right. My mum was there, my sisters, and they were crying, and I came down the path, and I said, what's wrong? And I don't even remember what they said. But I remember going in the house, my dad was sitting in his usual chair, and he said to me, I've got cancer. And one word sort of turned our world upside down. And my dad was a fella who got on with his life. He had his cancer diagnosis. He said, I'll take care of that. He had an operation. He had a lung removed. And he got on with his life. He rolled his sleeves up. He was out on his bike. He was doing it. He went for a pint at night time. He played dominoes. He was down at the local Legion. He was just, you know, he was a phenomenal fella, to be honest with you. And he died 6 years later of a heart attack. And when he did, I wanted to do something in his memory, and I became a fundraiser for Macmillan, knowing the people were going through the terrible times that we'd gone through and the worry. And I wanted to provide some funds to help them through the, you know, the darkest times. So why 365? So 5 years ago, my dad would have been 80, and it was 20 years since his diagnosis. So 18, 20, simple maths. What am I going to do? I'm going to do 100 marathons in 100 days. And that's what I've done. And then last year, because of what happened with COVID and one thing and another, all the major events were cancelled due to COVID. The fundraising for the charities was non-existent. Shops were closed. Macmillan cakes, coffee morning every September, cancelled. Massive fundraising opportunities missed. And the charities were on the bones of the bum. So I decided, Macmillan were 110 years old last year. I decided I would do 110. I'd done 100. I knew what it was like. And I wanted to stretch myself a little bit further. So last year, I'd done 110. I also incorporated my fundraising, my challenges to help out West Cumbria Hospice at Home, who are going to the homes of just normal folk and they hold the hands of, you know, people who are going through the terriblest times of their lives. They give families a bit of respite in care and attention. They spend the night there at end-of-life care. And I wanted to, you know, help them out. So that's what I've done. Raised over £200,000. And then every year as a family, we sit down and we see what we can do to help other people. And it seemed to me that the obvious next step was to do a full year of running a marathon distance every single day. That's got its, you know, it isn't just a case of getting up and running a marathon. I'm a dad of three children. My wife works shifts, I work shifts, and I still want to be a dad. You know, I've got a 10-year-old daughter who still wants to do stuff. My 14-year-old son still wants to do stuff. My 17-year-old son's in an apprenticeship now, but I still want to do stuff with him. And I've got work to go to. So we factored it all in. We sat down as a family, as a team, and we said, how can we do it? What are we going to do? Is it plausible to do? You know, I went into work. I explained what I was doing. And they've got behind me and they supported me. I'm doing a lot of work from home. I'm still going in and covering the office when I need to, but I'm predominantly, the last couple of months, I've been working from home and I'm just using all my own leave at work as a family. The family are going on holiday, but I'm not. My 14-year-old son, who's seen me fundraising all his life, he said, if you're doing 365, so am I. So he's, every single day, he's been on the bike in the gym. We've got a gym at home. And he's either do the 10-mile on the bike, or he does a full marathon on the bike with me at weekends. My 10-year-old daughter is doing 30 marathons now with me, full marathons on the bike. He's only 14. My 10-year-old daughter, she's done 10 marathons on the bike. She does, she'll either do the treadmill or she'll do the exercise bike at home every single day. So boy isn't going on holiday. He says, I'm with you, Dad, 365, we're a team. And people will say, you know, you're not erect, you're tired and this, that and the other. I go to bed with the biggest smile on my face, knowing that my children support me in a way that makes me happy. And it's great to see them pushing themselves. I remember right at the beginning, my daughter, Minnie, 26 miles for a 9-year-old. She was only 9 in winter. A bit difficult. Difficult doesn't mean impossible. We always, if she was struggling with anything, we'd find out what she was struggling with. And we turned it all around. We put her at the front and she led us. And soon, when our friends were coming with us, she was telling them how to get through doing a full marathon distance on the bike. And it's great to see. So the whole community's come together. We've galvanised a lot of people. The people who come with us are all good people. Good people find good people. I've had support with us most of the time. There's times when I've run on my own, which I don't mind at all, to be quite honest with you. I always... 4 miles from me run, I pass a school. The school kids are going to school every day, walking up a path with the hands out, giving me high fives. All the parents, they're smiling, their heads off. I go into probably at least one school a week. The children do a bit of fundraising on my behalf. We go through the importance of living a healthy lifestyle, and that starts with your diet and it starts with exercise. So some of the children hadn't been up the local fells. We live in the Lake District, so you know, we've got fells all around us, but some of them hadn't been up the local hills. They then go home and say to the parents, I want to go up touching a fell. So the parents are now getting out and moving, and everybody's moving. The people I see on the cycle path will say, I'm only out because of you. We've got a page put together called Inspired to Move, a Facebook page. It's got thousands of people on it now. It's all connecting with each other and doing Wainwright walks or doing runs or talking about weight loss and how it helped them. And everybody's gelled. You know, and lots of people are doing stuff because they've seen me doing stuff. So 365, was it going to be difficult? No, it's just running. It's running on my terms. It's not racing, totally different to racing. It's running. If I want to stop, I'll stop. If we say something, and we do stop as well, We stopped to get photographs done. We stopped to do Facebook Lives. We stopped because somebody needs us to stop. We pull people in. I get a bigger buzz out of seeing other people going home with a smile on their face because they've just felt as if they've achieved something, and that might be a 5 mile when they've been doing nothing at all. There's this last week, I've had 5 people come and do full marathon distances for the first time in their life. They're going home absolutely buzzing, you know, and I just check them around. They always say, thanks for getting me around, for getting themselves around. All I'm doing is a bit of diversional therapy of talking to them on the way around. And by the time you've had a good crack and all that, you're 10 mile in. People don't realise, you know, you just keep the positives, you keep the positives going. There's times where we've got to stop because we're laughing so much and somebody's saying something, telling a crack, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's a great atmosphere. And 365, 171 in now, you know, we're coming up to the halfway point. It's just absolutely flown in. Time goes in. Time doesn't wait for any of us. And I always say, when people say, it's a year though, and I say, I know, but if you had a year, if you were told you had a year left of your life, you wouldn't think, well, I'll have a lie in. You'll be trying to do as much as you possibly could with that time. The time does go in. It really, really does. So it's all coming together. It's all really good. We're raising lots of money. We're raising lots of awareness. We're getting kids moving and lots of adults moving too.
It sounds like, I mean, obviously the fundraising is integral for this and doing it in your dad's memory, but it really sounds like you're creating an entire movement up there that's getting your whole family moving and education for them, not only in understanding the hardship that people have through cancer and how important it is to help them, but also in terms of physical education. And then you've got the whole community just buying into these things. How big a part of it is running to that? Obviously, this is the Running Tales podcast. Could you have done this with doing some other thing, or is running central to it?
Running is central to it. I don't think how you could sustain something for a year and keep people's attention to it for as long as that. And when you think about it, we've all, I would say, and I'm saying as all, I don't want to discriminate against anybody here, but we're all capable of running, you know, and as children, you run around like a lunatic and you never seem to be tired, you know. And then I remember last year, or 2 years ago, when COVID first hit and the London Marathon was cancelled, we ran laps of our house, the whole family, for 12 hours, and we covered. Minnie was only 8. Bo was, well, being 12, and Alfie will have been 14 or 15. And we covered 108 miles. Minnie done 13, Bo done 26, Alfie done 27, and I done 42. And we raised £2,500. And the neighbours were coming out and putting drinks on the wall and stuff, and they were coming out just to clap. And we were just doing laps. So every hour the kids would go out and they'd do so many laps because that was the mile in, and then they'd go again and go again. And it was fantastic. And running does that. Children can run. They like to run. So if at some point, when you stop running, you always look back and say, I wonder why I stopped. Because it's in all of us to be able to run. And it doesn't matter how fast you go. I live in the Lake District and, you know, I don't care what anybody says. It's the nicest place in the world. The cycle path that I run on, I see the changes every single day in, be it the trees or the flowers, or looking across to the fell and seeing a bit of snow on the tops, or when it's raining, you know, just standing in the rain and listening to the bird song. And it's fantastic. And we talk about mental health as well and how exercise is the best thing for mental health. You know, everybody who comes running with me goes home with a smile on their face. Nobody doesn't ever feel that they're here for the wrong reasons. They're all here for the right reasons. So I don't think it would have been, if it had been a football match every day, people would have lost contact with it. People can come and do 2 mile. They can do a mile if they want. They can do 22. They can do whatever they're capable of doing. And it's any age as well. You know, we have different groups running. They'll say, I'll never be able to keep up with you. That's not what it's about. It's about getting out and being there with us.
I'm fascinated by the sort of idea that it's definitely true that we all, as kids, we all run around, we all love running. And somewhere along the way, so many people just lose that love of running and it becomes that thing in their head like, oh, it's a bit of a chore. I don't want to go out running. It's just to get fit, or it's just going to be bad on my knees or whatever. But you and what you do seems to have kept that almost like that childlike love of running. Have you always been into running?
No, I've never been in. Funnily enough, I wouldn't consider or class myself as a runner. I played rugby all my life. I got into running. I was messing about on the internet and I'd seen a Land's End to John O'Groats challenge. And I said to the wife, I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk it. I'm going to do long distance, the paths. That's going to take me from Land's End to Johnnie Groat. So I'm going to do it over 2 months. And she said, yeah, that would be fine. You know, no problem at all. So I went into work and I looked at the leave book. Somebody needed covered. And I was on relief at the time, which meant I could get my leave easier than anybody else. So I said, I looked and I had a 4 week gap. So I came back home and I said to the wife, I can't walk it. So if I can't walk it, the next best thing is to run it. She said, you're going to run from Land's End to Johnnie Groat. That that's exactly what I'm going to do. And she said, how are you going to do that? I said, to be honest, I don't know. So when I went back into work the following day, I briefed the team and I said to two of the guys, I want you to stop back. I've got a job for you. I said, yeah, no bother. So I shut the door. I said, right, we're doing Land's End to Johnnie Groat. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're good on a bike, so you can cycle next to me. And you're a former long-distance lorry driver, so you know the routes. We'll get a camper van, and you can drive the camper van. You know the maps. Sort the maps out, and away we go. So they were laughing their heads off. What about time off? I said, I'll sort that out. Don't worry about that. So that's what we done. We hired a camper van, drove down to Land's End, and I ran to Johnnie Groat. And each day, one of them, so I split it into, it was about 32 mile a day. So we had three sections. I'd do 10 mile and one of them would be cycling while the other drove the camper van. And he would get to a point and he'd phone the cyclist and he'd say, right, I'm on Tesco's car park. Be careful on this roundabout or whatever, or make sure you don't miss this turn. We had maps made out that the cyclist carried and he'd say, come on, let's get going. And it was absolutely the best thing I've ever done. You know, it took me 27 days. We raised, I don't know, £30,000 at the time. And it just gave me that thing that, you know, something, I'm not a bad runner, actually.
Did you train for it?
Well, living in the Lake District, it's pretty easy. If you train on hills, there's nothing more people can throw at you. So when you put on the flats, it just seems as if it's easy. So I trained in the fells. I was doing 30-mile back-to-backs for about a week. So I was doing building up. And I found it really, really rewarding. And when we got down there, it wasn't the Lake District. It was relatively flat. There was some, you know, bumps in the road and what have you, but nothing to what I was used to. So we were fine. It was great. And it was an ideal thing to do because of the pace of life. While I'm running it, you know, 8-9 minute miles, and somebody's cycling next to me and we're looking about and having a crack, and then people's finding out what you're doing and joining you. And you're going through little villages that you would never have thought of in, you know, in the memory of man. And you're just stopping and looking at the thatches on the houses, and there's little streams, and somebody's saying, what are you on with? We're running from Land's End to Johnnie Groat, and we're finished for the day. We're just having a look around there. Do you want to come and sit in my stream? You know, and you're sitting in the streams, getting your legs curled off and stuff, and it was fantastic. We got up to Scotland, and Scotland's very, very sparse of people. You would be on the road for a day and not see anybody, and it was fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant, but I thought, whilst, you know, I was doing it, you know, this is something I could really get into as fundraising. A vehicle for my fundraising is running. So I've never been in a running club. I've never ran competitively, but I'm not a bad runner. You know, I just think that when I say I'm going to do something, I'll do my best to do it. I don't want to let people down. Every day that I run now, my vest is sponsored, and it's usually in memory of somebody. You don't want to let people down who you're running in memory of. It could be somebody's birthday, it could be a local pub, it could be a hairdresser, it could be anything. There's lots of people jumping on board to help out and raise as much funds as we can. So if you guys are running, no, I've never been in a club, but I've always been able to run.
So it sounds like you've gone from maybe those typical sort of rugby sessions where running is something where they just sort of beast you to get you fit to the games, and then maybe had that basic that basic fitness to go and do it. You've done competitive marathons though, haven't you? Is that right?
I've done London, I've done Edinburgh, I've done a few other marathons, and they've always been as fundraisers, but I've always been the only competition I really see is within myself, to try and beat my own time and to try and, you know, and by virtue of doing that, you're racing yourself, but you're racing others at the same time.
The Running Tales podcast isn't particularly about times and so on, but we do talk about them every now and again. I looked at your Strava, and it seems to suggest you're doing your marathons at the moment all under 4 hours. Now, I don't know whether that's stopping the watch to have, like you say, some food and cake or whatever, or if that's generally your time, because to do that time every day is pretty fast, I'd say.
Yeah, so the elapsed time is round about 4.5, 4:20 or something like that. But the running time's usually 3:45. And again, it's because we do stop for photographs, for a cup of tea, for people to join us, to pull people together. My racing time, I can do London in just over 3 hours. But I don't think that you could be doing that every day. You know, it will be too much on your recovery. You know, fine, well, you run hard, you recover harder. So it is on my terms. If I want to stop because I say something, a couple of deer in the field or red squirrels running up trees, then that's what we do. We stop. It isn't about times. It's about completion for me and getting round and bringing other people with us. We have a lot of schools involved, so the kids will join me on the route, and you slow down and, you know, you want them to get something out of it. You want them to go back thinking, I want to do that again. So you just take your time times aren't important to me, to be honest.
No, I kind of get the impression that a lot of it is about getting out into nature as well and connecting with people.
It is. It is both, because when you see what we have got here, I think it's only when you get older that you appreciate your surroundings a little bit more. I live 3 miles from the coast and I live 3 miles from the mountains. So after this podcast, I'm going to go down to Whitehaven, down to the beach with the kids, and we'll have a way wander about. Another night I'll be in Ennerdale and I'll be on the lakes and I'll be on the fell. You know, it's fantastic. And it's an environment where if children get it at an early age, they'll want to keep it, they'll want to maintain the surroundings, they'll want to see, and they'll want to venture out a little bit further. They want to run up a hill instead of walking up it. And then they'll want to do the next one. And then they'll want to see how many they can put together. You know, I just encourage all that. And I love seeing children doing exercise, because there's far too much people, too many people saying, take my kids with you, you can't get them off the Xbox. You know, and don't get me wrong, my kids go on the Xbox too. But if I said to any of them, who's out with us at the weekend, anybody coming? Somebody will say, I'll come. I'll come with your dad. You know, and it's 4 hours of their time sitting on a bike and just aggravating me and having a crack and a joke if we're on our own. But that's great bonding time with your own children whilst you're out running. And it's, I just find it great.
And talk us through some of the other fundraising you do, because I had a look on your Just Giving page and there's a whole host of stuff that you've taken part in over the years beyond running as well.
Yeah, well, it first started probably with, I'd done a cycle through Brazil, and I chose to do the cycling to take myself out of my comfort zone. I'd spent a lot of time swinging on my chair at school, and I didn't realise that Brazil was the fifth largest country in the world, and they were doing a bit of a coast-to-coast on it. And I was thinking, Jesus. So when we got there, we were doing around about, well, I don't know, 80, 90 miles a day sometimes on mountain bikes. I didn't know what the word undulate meant till I got to Brazil. And believe me, it did take me out of my comfort zone. But I raised a lot of money, and I had that bug of, I'm helping people here. I always said to my children that £50 buys a food blender for somebody with throat cancer. So I raised around about £7,000. So if you think of all the 50s in the 7,000, that's how many people you're reaching out to. And I got that bug that I wanted to sustain that. I wanted to go out and help more. So the following year, I climbed Kilimanjaro. And you're with like-minded people who's there for the same reason as you. It was Macmillan who I was supporting. So I think it's fair to say that everybody's got a cancer story. We all know somebody who's been through a cancer battle, be it direct or indirect, you know, a friend of a friend, or, you know, we all live in a street that somebody's going through a terrible time. And I wanted to help out. I wanted to reach out to them people and say, you know, the support, whatever I'm doing is to support you. I trekked through New Zealand. I've jumped out of airplanes. I've walked across fire, hot coals. You know, I've rode the equivalent of the English Channel, a rowing machine, and then back. I ran my first London marathon. I actually ran from home to London to take part in the marathon. So I was doing around about 50 miles a week to get to London, and then I ran London on the Sunday. Have you heard of the Fred Whitten cycle route?
I haven't, no.
So if you were to Google the Fred Whitten cycle route, it's billed as one of the toughest cycle routes in Britain. And I became the first man to run it a couple of years ago. It's 112 miles. It's about 12,000 feet of ascent. It's all the Lakeland passes. And it was tough. But, you know, tell me something tougher than going through a cancer battle. I raised a lot of money doing that. And I think I showed to people what can be achieved. You know, if you just step out of the box and look around and say, you know, there is other things that can be achieved with a bit of belief. And that's all I think I'm doing. I'm only doing what I'm capable of doing. I honestly don't say the running is anything more than what I'm capable of doing. What I say is the impressive part is the money that's being raised by the local communities, because it's the money that makes a difference to the charities. And you never ever know how much you're going to raise. And I'm just happy, you know, if it's a pound, somebody gives me a pound, because I know that all them pounds added up make a difference. So I'm always pleased with the way things go. We've raised towards £1 million. I'm hoping to raise £1 million off this challenge alone, 125 grand in the pot at the minute. You know, you tend to find that the money doesn't come in till later on when it's looking like things are going to be successful, because people want to be involved in success. They don't want to back a story that's, you know, going to fail. So although I've done 171 marathons consecutively, it's only 171. It'll start getting interesting to people when it's 330, 340. You know, on Christmas Day, when I'm running a marathon, people will say, he's only got seven to do, six to do. That's when it starts heating up. Until then, all I've got to do is keep running.
And just give a quick shout out to where people can go to sponsor you, because obviously we want to try and get a few more people to come and do that if they can.
Yeah, so I've got a Just Giving page. It's www.justgiving.com/365. And the 365 is written. It's not the numbers, it's the letters. And anybody, I've had people come and run from London. Three people came from London. I have a regular guy who comes from Manchester. There's people on Strava being in touch with us from America who's making plans to come over and run with us. And the further it goes on, the more interesting people get. You know, there's nearly 6,000 people following me on Strava now. And people always ask questions on how you're doing this and how you're doing that. And they are intrigued by what you're doing. And a lot of people want to come and join you. And I'll always say, it doesn't matter to me if it's a mile or the 26. Come along, see what it's like for yourself. Meet new friends, connect with people. And we're all, you know, probably like-minded. We want to be here for a reason. And just come and see what it's like.
Yeah. Are you surprised by the amount of support you've got? I mean, I'm not, because I think it's phenomenal what you're doing. But you're kind of quite like, I'm just doing what my body allows me to do. So therefore, does that therefore surprise you that other people have such an interest in it?
I think, I don't know if the word surprised is the right word to use. I think people are more intrigued as to how you can do what you do. You know, and I stick to a regime that works for me. I get up at the same time. I have the same breakfast. I mean, I was thinking the other day, I'm running 365 marathons. Fine. But who could actually eat the same breakfast for a year?
Do you know what I mean? What's your breakfast, Gary?
I only have two slices of toast with a bit of jam on it and two cups of coffee. But imagine, it's like being on rations. It's like being in jail, isn't it? That's what you're getting. Imagine somebody saying you're not having a beer for a year. That's a challenge in itself to some people. You know, I'm quite religious in how I go about my business. And I always think that once the motivation's waned a little bit, you've got to then rely upon your discipline. And if you're disciplined, you're halfway there. So I am quite disciplined with myself. I love a beer. I love a beer like anybody else. The local brewery, this is the third time they've done it. They brought an ale out called Marathon Man. It's 5.5% Ennerdale Brewery, and all the profits of the beer, it's a non-profit making beer for them, goes onto my Just Giving page. So over the years, they put thousands of pounds onto that page, and everybody goes mad for it, and they're drinking this beer. It's the strongest that they do, and then they think they can run marathons, and, you know, we all know what we're like when we've had a few beers and running. But, yeah, I'm not so much surprised, because people think over 12 months, I can join them and do at least one. It's the time that they put off, because by the time they get to me, they think, I can't go at that pace. You tend to get faster as you go along, not slower. You know, and I'll wait for anybody. We'll slow the pace down. We'll have a crack. Well, I want to get people around. I want them to enjoy it. I want them to be able to come back. You know, and I want them, when I finish, I want them as sustained runners, at least get out once a week and do something. That's the difference that you can make to people's lives by doing it, them seeing what you're doing and replicating it. So I'm happy with all of that. There will be more people joins me throughout when it gets a wider audience. You know, when people listen to your podcast and I'm saying, come and join me, you know, 8 o'clock every morning, I set off from the house, come and rock up, leave the car outside the house, there'll be sandwiches ready for you when you go home, and a cup of tea for you and all that, carry on. There's people coming that they really, really do enjoy themselves.
And what would you say to anybody else out there who wants to either get into running generally or wants to get into fundraising and is maybe thinking of some sort of challenge? I mean, is the advice just simply go out and do it? You're going to love it.
Yeah, I would say don't bite off too much. You know, make it manageable to yourself, because if you want things to be successful, it doesn't come straight away. You've got to build on it. You've got to build it up. So do things that you're capable of doing and then raise your bar and move on. You always get the buzz from helping other people and being there to support other people. Life's about helping folk, isn't it? And doing as much as you can to help people. But in the same time as I'm helping others, I'm also helping myself. I'm keeping myself in shape. I'm keeping myself trim. I don't think my heart rate has been as low, you know, my resting heart rate. And it's all good. It's all good news. It's all positive. You can look back on it in years to come. I remember I've ran with kids from 5 years ago when I'd done the 100, who were now in the 18, 19-year-olds. You know, they ran as school kids and they've come back to run with me saying, I remember when you came into our school 5 years ago and we always said we'll run with the marathon man that I would know you're running with me. And it's great to look back on and say, I inspired that child to be able to get out and do what he's doing. It gives them a bit of belief in themselves and gives them a bit more confidence about themselves. So I would say to people, don't put it off. Just get out and do it.
Fantastic. Gary, I think that's a superb place to leave it. Thank you so much for coming on Running Tales.
No bother, mate. Thanks very much for the opportunity.